Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another Fun Filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amino Hassan. I'm joined as always by Black Trey and Big Jerv. Reminder, patreon.com/countthedings. Go ahead and get you subscribed. Go ahead and get yourself all this good extra content, like the Bomb Overflow episodes, like the watch-alongs for the NBA playoffs, watch-alongs for movies with me, Maze, and Zach Harper. Access to the Discord, all sorts of other things. It's all in the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. It's worth it. And if you already have it, thank you and force feed someone else to get it. All right. As I said, we got a great show. Snowfall ended last week. So we're going to transition a little bit here and start reviewing Atlanta. Yeah, that's right. Atlanta made the graduated move from Overflow to main show, and so we'll talk about that. The Magic Doc episodes 3 and 4, we watched episodes 1 and 2 last week. We conclude the Magic Doc here on episodes 3 and 4. Well, let's talk about the baby. Did we talk about this on Overflow? We didn't talk about it on Overflow, did we? About the baby? Oh man, we gotta talk about the baby, man. This shit is all bad for him. But first, oh, the rise and fall of Bud Light, Becky. She was, for an instant, a trailblazer, just flying through the sky, started up a Cameo account. Her ass was about to be blowing up everywhere. She was about to be in someone's video. And then, shout out to my man, Kev, on stage. Said, and then she had this tweet about a bobcat. When she called a bobcat a nigga, and he said, I'm going to quote Kev on this one. I've been black my whole life, and I use the N-word all the time. I don't think I've ever called a bobcat a nigga or heard anyone else refer to a bobcat as a nigga. I'm not offended. I'm just confused. And she blew everything. She might have gotten away with it. She said, well, that was an old tweet. And, you know, I've learned my lesson. Nope. Little double down action with an April 2022 tweet of y'all niggas is inconsistent or some shit like that. And I'm like, you see, that's why y'all can't be crowning just anybody or inviting just anybody to the cookout because they rapped a couple of lyrics.
No, the cleanup part that made Sean lose it. I listened to a lot of black people music and I played basketball in high school. How I'm this racist person when y'all let the baby roam this earth.
Dog, I put that shit on my story. Sean's laugh and says she played high school. She played basketball.
She says she's a hooper.
But it is bizarre. Like, again,
I've never heard being a hooper be used as I would have voted for Obama the third time.
Oh my God, it's the new level. This is the Gen Z version, Trey. But I'm a hooper.
Oh, you niggas is
black.
Oh, you niggas is weird. She tweeted that April 29, 2022.
Just
you gotta give her credit though. She went out with a bang. She ain't let the old tweet take her down. She said, "Fuck it."
So here's my thing, right? I love that everybody had fun with it, and then the people that already knew, I think like myself, Amin, maybe you, Jerv. I don't think you shared it, but we're like, watch when they find out some racist shit. We're just waiting because we know. Anytime, but black people, why black people? Anytime white people do the least amount of something, we are their biggest hype man. And then when they get there, they're let down. And in this particular situation, it was a meme that said, "I don't see these white motherfuckers posting niggas when they singing Paramore." And it reminded me of the time of me when we was at karaoke and I was singing Paramore. I really know that shit word for word.
Yep.
It ain't no white person posted me. Nope. I ain't even famous.
It was that Fat Tuesdays on Mill Avenue in Tempe, Arizona. And Trey,
ain't nobody,
Trey had the whole, I mean, like.
Ain't it fun? That's my song.
I mean, you did karaoke too?
I didn't sing Paramore, but yes, I did karaoke.
Yeah, no, we did.
I can see Trey doing rap song. Karaoke. I can't see you doing karaoke.
We did a rap song. What did we do?
Yeah,
we did one of the rap songs.
Did we do T-Pain?
We probably did Buy You a Drink.
Yeah, I think we did T-Pain. Yeah,
I love that song.
That's a great karaoke song. Fire, bro.
I don't
do karaoke.
It was fire.
Jerv, you gotta get in some Yoki, man. Gotta get some Yoki in, man.
Yeah, he too cool, man. You know, he forgot, man.
I'm be honest with you.
Bull too cool.
Yes, I can't escape that shit. I be trying so hard not to give a fuck. And then I just like, nah, I'm cool, dog.
White people, shit. Post me. Post me, white people. Post me, please, so I can go viral.
And then next thing you know, Trey's robbing a convenience store. And like, see, I told you, you can't trust them. Just because he was doing Paramore doesn't mean he's not going to turn black at some point.
But they coined her Bud Light Betty. She was on her way. My homie Spee actually brought it to my attention that she was a TikTok star. So she was already... these rap-alongs.
That's even worse. She blew an even bigger bag.
Yeah. She was already growing her virality. And, you know, and then that's the crazy thing about it. All the black hip-hop blogs picked it up, shared it. You got everybody tapping in, and you blow it. You couldn't take the Mac Miller route. You had to go do something else.
Look, she's cool. She got me. I was like, oh man, she's cool.
What's my man? Gary Owen?
Yeah, Gary Owen.
Gary Owen should have sat her down, like, listen here. Let me explain something to you. You do this shit right, they will love you. Yeah, you will sell out. You will have like
I fuck with Gary Owen.
Because Gary Owen never fucked up. That's why.
But these are the things. These are the people up here. Tony Hawk, Jim Carrey. We got, you know, Danny McBride. We got our white people. But we like, hey.
But some of those guys, some of those people are just like they're universally loved. That's why, like Tony Hawk and Jim Carrey and Danny McBride, but like Gary Owen and then Tina Marie.
Mm-hmm.
These are white people who specifically target black audiences and have had their whole career and have managed to do it without any incidents. You know why? Because that shit ain't hard, man.
It ain't that hard.
Just don't
Neil Brennan is another one. Like, yeah, Neil Brennan's career, even though he's crossed over, a lot of Neil Brennan's career targeting black people and doing it without fucking up, because it's not that hard, man. Just always remember the white motherfucker.
Wait, who's Neil Brennan?
The dude that co-wrote Half-Baked and was a writer on Chappelle's Show. Mm-hmm. White dude.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, man. It's kind of ridiculous, man. Kind of ridiculous, but because it's so easy. Like, first of all, why are you calling a bobcat a nigga? Like, as a tweet, by the way, that means you really thought about this shit. Like, yo,
this crazy. About to be,
and it's yeah, that, especially Trey, given now you revealed to me that she's a TikTok star. So definitely the idea of like this is gonna go bananas on the internet, like that's a mindset for these people. But then the double down, like you have the out, just be like, yo, that was years ago. I was younger. I didn't understand. Da da da. Uh-uh.
We would have forgave her.
Nah, I ain't forgiving none of that shit.
I say we, I mean we as a massive people. You may not. I may not.
I've only vouched for one person that was walling, and the mean knows that person, and I vouched for it because I tried to give the growth path of like they was too young.
Damn, Ethan Strauss did that. I didn't know.
Nah, nah, I ain't gonna bring it up because it's gonna make it's gonna make it hot. But can't if I bossed it over, you gonna know.
Can't even. Is it a still okay? Let's boss
it's somebody that's still. It's somebody that's still on, that's active. You know what I mean? And someone we both are cool with them.
Oh, wait, just to be clear, are we in Bossa Nova right now?
We can Bossa Nova
from right here.
You know what? Yo, you know what? All right. Let's not even risk it. Just type it in the chat right here.
Okay.
Ah, yeah, I don't. Good old chat.
Yo, Draymond is going nuts. By the way.
Yeah. Sick.
Oh wow. Were you the one that delivered the talk?
Yeah.
You like, hey.
Yeah. But I also felt like I had my cape on, and I really wasn't.
No. I like this person too. I think this is a good person, but like the talk needs to happen, right?
It happened though. But I saved, and that's why I'm like, you know, I saved that person. And they've been able to still remain in this space for the pick.
Yeah.
Know,
did they the do it in a public forum or like was it like?
No, it was just my vouch.
No.
That's it.
But did it happen like on Twitter or did it happen like?
Oh, yeah. No, they just dug up old tweets.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people who fell for that, man, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I know a lot. But yo, shout out to people growing and learning, right?
Yeah. They understand whether it's just don't listen to G on it in 2003, man. So I can tell you.
Oh, man. All right. Well, she said, why don't y'all go while the baby roaming around? Don't worry, sweetheart. We got the baby on the topic.
You mentioned the baby. So let's roll up on the baby. What happened with the baby of me?
Oh, man. So Rolling Stone. This we did talk about this, Jerv. We talked about a little bit of overflow. But I'm going to run it by you, Trey. So Rolling Stone came out with like an expose. Okay. They went out, they acquired the tapes from the Walmart where the baby shot the dude. If you don't know the baby's backstory, he was a mixtape rapper and he was up and coming, but he really hadn't like blown up yet. And then he shot and killed a dude at Walmart and like wasn't, at the time I thought, like beat the case, but really what ended up happening was they felt like it was insufficient evidence to charge and that he acted in self-defense and that was it. And that kind of incident really blew him up on a national scene. He soon thereafter signed a major deal and like his career went where it went. Well, Rolling Stone magazine dug up the video and talked to the family of the victims because he shot two niggas, one of them died. And let's just say, I don't quite know that it was self-defense. The story.
It didn't look like it to me.
Yeah. So the story is, this is the part of the story that both sides share, is Lil Baby's shopping at Walmart with his baby mama and his kid, and the two dudes were following him around the store. Now the kids say they noticed him walking in and say, "Yo, is that the baby?" But obviously, like at this point in his career, he isn't, you know, doesn't have as visibility. You don't know what he looks like, or you're not sure what he looks like in the same way that you might be sure if you saw Steph Curry at Walmart. Oh, that's Steph Curry, right? So they kind of followed him around, kind of trying to see if it was him or not. And then he was like, "Yo," basically noticed him and said, "Yo, do I know y'all," or whatever, something like that. And the kid said, they were like, "Oh shit, it is the baby." And like they were about to just leave after that and leave him alone. But then he pulled out a gun and shot them both, I guess, and killed one. The baby story is that these dudes are following me around the store, and one of them had a gun and tried to pull, so I pulled and I shot first in self-defense. So basically that's the backstory there on the baby and this thing. But now they've dug up, and the video looks like, man, that don't look like self-defense to me, as Trey said. And so that obviously changes a lot of things for this story. And there's a push to kind of get the story reopened. And then there's all types of other sort of, you know, he keeps putting his foot in his mouth. I guess, what was the latest thing that happened with him? Hold on for a second. I got it here from another group.
Well, whatever it was, it didn't matter, because he walked Shakur Stevenson to the ring last night. So that nigga don't give a fuck of whatever it is that he just did.
Somebody said if the baby worked at Waffle House, he'd be employee of the month every month. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but Waffle House employees do be fighting.
You can see it. They definitely be they definitely be scrapping in Waffle House. You can catch a good rumble.
The baby facing charges for felony battery after allegedly attacking man at his music video shoot. So, as you can see, like, this thing is just having a really, really fucked up 2022/2021. All this happened. But, Trey, the question I asked Jerv last week was the group chat that I'm in where I found out about this Rolling Stone article. I was surprised how many guys were upset at Rolling Stone. I'm like, what? Like, this nigga might have killed somebody, like, that was, like, just a fan. It's bad enough to kill somebody who's innocent, but you killed a fan?
I think they don't like the idea that street shit is starting to become, you know, internet detectives, right? Even though someone lost their life, it's just the fact that, you know, now something happens, a nigga just go straight to the timeline and put pieces together and just put the shit together, right?
But it wasn't, in this situation, is a story. Though. Right, like,
yeah, no, I know, but it's still a publication, yeah. You know what I mean? But still, yeah.
But like, I'm saying, like, they went and interviewed people, and they went to North Carolina, and like they did journalism. I'm like, that's journalism. Yeah. That's not. Oh, why didn't, if they had the video, why didn't they just hand it to the police? I said, you think that the police couldn't get their hands on a video from Walmart for 5 years? Yo, it's clear the police don't give a shit about this, man.
Yeah, that shit is nuts. I mean, hopefully that brother, like, settles down, man. He's just a live wire. And I feel like since he's been in our lives, I remember the first time we ever had a conversation about this on the pod.
About the
him shooting about him. This. Yeah. Yep. And how he was a real nigga and stopped trying him because he had slept some dude. Well, here we are in our Lord's year of 2022.
Yep.
And the tape is out.
Turns out he's a nigga. Turns out he's a
nigga. You wanted a nigga? Well, a nigga's here.
And a nigga's here. Shout out to Kevin Hart. Romini Mako is the one that said you want a nigga. Because Kevin Hart was the one that said, Don't be a nigga. Be a nigga.
Oh, like, yeah. Somebody's nigga wearing this nigga tie.
Nigga tie.
Now don't be a Negro. Be my nigga. All right? Help me out.
Hold on. I ain't nobody's nigga.
Well, I mean, you somebody's nigga wearing this nigga tie.
Now you're being condescending. See? Mm-hmm. You've been warned, all right? Let's move forward amicably.
Okay, well, so check this out, though. First of all, you're throwing too many big words at me. Okay? Now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect. Mm-hmm. Watch your mouth. And help me with the sale.
Okay, see? See, now you found yourself a nigga. You were looking for a nigga? Nigga here now, see?
Okay. Today's forecast, dark and cloudy, and chance of drive-by.
Yeah, that's such a great scene, man. But no, but Trey, I'm going to tell you what it was, because I was at the Dreamville brunch, Charlotte All-Star Weekend, and dude showed up with a vest on and two cops with him. And I was like, you go to one of these events, there's always someone who's kind of putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like there's someone who's gonna, oh, you know, I'll show up and relax, like it's a Dreamville function. It's not like fucking showing up to OBO Fest or whatever, where everyone's trying to be cool. Like it's relax, man. Like everyone here is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me, nah, that's the baby. That dude shot somebody. I'm like, oh shit. And it's like, what happened? Like it's like, yeah, he beat the case. I'm like, what? So it was a whole thing. So yeah, like you said, like 4 years later, 5 years later, here we are, Trey.
Hey, you can't escape the internet, bro.
Sunrise, sunset.
If you do some shit, just know that motherfucker gonna come back around, and they gonna be waiting.
Yeah,
that shit is nuts when you really think about it. Like that's such an eye-opening situation because we literally talked about it, like live, and then now we're discussing years later. We watched this dude blow up.
Dude, where was I? I was like at fucking H&M and they're playing a song with Dua Lipa, and all I could think of like, nigga, you was doing songs with Dua Lipa? Like that's a level of like you made it.
But he's also one of them niggas that you just wanted to go away though, too.
I was just about to ask that. Are we at the point where I think I've been there for a while because I'm just cool, but I think people are at the point where they're just like, yo, just disappear, fam. Like, you had your run. Go do some other shit. Get your money. But we don't really need you anymore.
I still love the whistle meme where they say,
oh my god, that's the funny thing is that before this, with this actual shit, like the tide had already started turning on him.
Yeah.
That like the baby raps over the same beats with the same flow. Like
that's
Pusheyzy
too. some of these niggas is just starting to pull a fast one on us because we don't be really listening to the lyrics anyway. So,
wait. Oh, you know what I was listening to?
I think he can spit though. Believe it or not, as crazy as that. I think the baby actually has like
I do too
bars and shit.
Oh yeah, I don't think he's like a terrible artist or anything, but it's just like like it's all
it's funny, I was listening, you know what I was listening to this morning? Shout out to Trey. I was listening to the fucking Rockefeller Champion song.
Mm-hmm.
And like Cam's verse, and I was like, this shit is fire, bro. But then I was like, if it came out today, would people think it's fire? Am I just listening to things with an old ear or
yep.
Yeah, German?
It's okay. But it's okay to listen to it with an old ear, brother. It's okay. It? Because you get to take yourself back to that time and you had that flashback of how life was this and you were wearing 6X white t-shirts and pants two sizes too big. You know what I mean?
Hold on.
It's okay.
When he said, this is just fate, how I would sit on a crate, listen to tapes every day, if frisk was at stake, chicks, cuffers getting raped, my mission was straight, visit them states near the Great Michigan Lakes. Michigan Lakes. No one's fucking with that?
A certain community. Bars. Community.
Like, younger listeners are like, yawn.
Yeah, they wouldn't
like
be. They wouldn't be.
They hear that, like, do they hear that? Like,
he's not talking about doing drugs. He's talking about selling drugs. He's not talking about doing drugs. They don't like that anymore.
So, like, they would listen to it, like, the same way that we listen to, like, Kool Moe Dee. Is how you like me now? Like,
yeah. Because the Rudy Tootie flow is too much for them already. And it's so funny because like that shit was nice. The computer sputin, it was so great to me at that time.
Yeah. Y'all get shout out, homie. I do the shooting, man. Come on, man.
Yo, every time I hear someone say the computer's putin, I always think of when him and Fifth were beefing, and Fifth shot the fucking video at his crib, at the Mike Tyson crib,
yeah,
and had all his niggas doing a dance on the four wheelers. And he said, "Yo," he said, "What's the last camera I joint y'all liked anyway?" And at that point in time, I was like, "Damn, I really haven't liked the." I really haven't liked the Cam song. And I think he did the because he got the Pewter's Putin or whatever. That's a dark time for Cam, yo. The Pewter's Putin and all that shit.
Hold on. Y'all, am I the only one who liked that song?
I like the We Are the Champions, John.
No,
I
mean, I'm talking about I keep Pewter's Putin.
I personally would still listen to it. Oh, by the way, here in Harlem, come home with me. Show on May 12th. I'll be there at the Apollo.
Oh, shut up.
You said May 12th?
Yeah, I'll be in there throwing up the rock.
Hold on, Jerv. I do the recruiting. I tutor the students. I nurture their brain. I'm moving the movement. Yeah, no? No, people wasn't fucking with that? Just the mean? Okay.
I'm sorry. I was checking the day. I was trying to see what I was doing May 12th so I can try and piggyback on Trey offline and go to this concert. But anyway, what did you – nobody liked Pewter's Putin. You had to be like the biggest Cameron fan ever.
I'm saying, like, I'm not talking that line, but like the verse was fucking fire.
No, but it represents the time where I feel Cam got paid and his bars started getting super duper like commercial comical as opposed to
I got computers Putin. Y'all get shot at, homie. I do the shooting. I do the recruiting. I tutor the students. I nurture their brain. I'm moving the movement. Whether Buddhist to Buddha, that's Judas to Judah. I got Luga to Ruga. Hit from Ruda to Tuda. Chick from Huda to Tuda. I'm for two and producers. I'm the real boss story. The hula. I rock mostly Dosi. Okay. It kind of falls apart.
Yes. Thank
they be you. Like, holy moly.
That's definitely not Killer Cam right there.
So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
Let's do magic talk, man. Because now I'm really mad. Oh, y'all want to know the real story about Magic Johnson? The real story about Magic Johnson? I'm going to tell you the real Magic Johnson story. I'm not going to mention me coaching the Lakers terribly. I'm not going to mention me running the Lakers terribly. I'm just going to gloss over that shit. Nigga, everything I touch turns to gold. Like, come on, bro. Come on, man. Now, I do appreciate the inside story about how he found out he got HIV, how they dealt with it. I do appreciate the story of how they started Magic Johnson Industries.
Enterprises.
I do appreciate him talking about.
Hello, listener.
I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, ah, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, what was the other thing they talked about that I was like, oh, that's kind of dope. Oh, I didn't think they were going to get into the sun. I was kind of curious about that, like how that shit went down. I was waiting for them to lie about that. Like, yo, I love you no matter what. Like, there's no way in hell, nigga, you said that shit. I didn't realize the sun came out. It was only 2013. I thought that shit had happened sooner than that, but oh well.
You got to factor in COVID years, bro. You 2013 probably doesn't, yeah.
2013 is almost 10 years ago.
That's nuts. That's fucking nuts, dog. But also crazy too that that nigga was just a terrible nigga, bro.
Magic.
Yeah.
The pool party?
Hey, bro, the not like, even the damn. Nigga chose the pool party over her.
He's Magic fucking Johnson. There you go. Like, what are we doing here?
This ain't
Trayvon Edwards, brother. With all due respect, I know you are. I fucks with you, bro, but this is fucking Magic Johnson.
No, I get it, but
you can either stand the fuck outside or you can wait.
No, but listen, this nigga did this shit. He broke off 3 engagements, bro. That's killer. That, hey, when you think about Cookie. Ride or Die, nigga, Cookie ride is die. The ride or oh, yeah. die, nigga.
They don't make my Cookie no more. I tell you that right now.
Bro, three of them things?
Three of them like, things and the nigga caught HIV.
But that's what I'm saying, Jer.
The pool nigga was, had three aces pool. In the big Joker.
But that's what I'm saying, Jer. The pool was round three, bro. That nigga said, they I'ma choose a pool.
I mean, Trey, let's keep it real, bro. She didn't wait this long. Like, yo, what's another couple months? It's fucking Magic Johnson. You've been literally, fucking up with this nigga off and on since high school. He's literally the best player in the world right now. Ain't no time to jump ship now.
His dad had to tell him. Dad, like, stop fucking around.
Yeah, like, you.
It took his father.
Like, all right, man, my dad said, come on. The fact that the nigga laid at the come on, man, you bullshit. Nah, because you know, I nigga had that talk with you, like, hey, man.
Oh yeah, that wasn't no chill convo his pop had with him. It was a lot of you dumbasses and you smarting up, boy.
Because you know, no, but that's the thing. We so naive and young. We be basically telling old niggas, you ain't like us. We more killer than y'all. Like, we just know way more. Like. Could you imagine your dad trying to convince you right now, Jer, to just be like, hey, you know what? You stop all that foolishness and go do this. And you like, I hear you, Pop, but nigga, you ain't I'm doing it streets. Like me.
You ain't doing it like this. You ain't pulling.
The streets is loving like... me.
Hey, because I remember having a conversation with my uncles, right? I said, I'm way more killer than y'all ever was. But to be fair, they had to walk for me to run.
So I could run. Okay, so Trey, let me ask you a question that's kind of related to this, right? Magic wanted to open the movie theater right there in Baldwin Hills, which I always thought this shows how little I know about LA history. I thought Baldwin Hills was like the nice neighborhood.
It's the Black Hollywood, but no. Here's the thing. It's still in gang territory. Oh, I don't give a fuck what man. You want to say. It's just gangs, damn, regardless. Man. But this nigga Magic, it was hype because we love Magic, like just like how we loved OJ at one point in time, right?
Right.
And I remember this shit, right? Niggas is like, because I'm 9 at the time, like 9, 10 years old. So niggas like,
right.
The Magic Johnson Theaters. Niggas always say that. Hey, you gonna go to the Magic Johnson Theaters? Is the like a big deal because it's Magic right. Johnson shit. Well, there's gangbangers there when right. you get there. By the way. But Magic specifically, my grandma loved taking me to this fucking theater because Magic Johnson had a no sagging rule.
Wow.
He was the first nigga to implement the no sagging rule. You couldn't, they would escort you off the premises if you were sagging. He pulled a Bill Cosby in the theater, basically.
I was just about to say, that's crazy. Niggas let that fly, but when Bill Cosby said it, hindsight being 2020, fuck Bill Cosby, but. When Bill Cosby said it was the end of the world.
Because Magic
telling y'all the same shit.
Because Magic be smiling, that's why.
He be smiling.
Bill Cosby was smiling too, but he was on
no,
that
it wasn't.
Shit.
That nigga was not smiling when that nigga said
that. That's a devilish smile.
Yo, Trey, as far as the peace treaty goes, though, like, how,
he want to pretend like he got that off. He probably dropped the bag off.
Sure. Course. But how does that like trickle down to like the lower levels, right? Like it's like it's one thing to like get the heads and be like, here's a bag, we don't want no violence, please, and let's make this thing work. And the OGs or the big homies will be like, okay. But how do you stop like the 16-year-old hothead from going to theater and motherfucker spill popcorn on his shoe?
So in the 90s, the OGs mattered. Now. Most of the OGs are in jail, and when they come home, they either have been on drugs for a long period of time. They don't, you know how we like joked around, like imagine coming home out of jail at a certain time and like right. shit's going like this. It's very rare that a nigga hands you the keys back.
Right, like in Power. What's my man?
In Power, like that shit's not real. Not nobody gonna be like, hey, you've been holding it down. Like, no, it's a change of life. Yeah. Like. Because now the YGs and the young dudes, they're trying to prove their point. They have beat the OGs right. up. They shoot the OGs because they don't do that fist fight shit no more. So, like, I couldn't imagine a nigga trying to do that shit in 2022. Like, hey, y'all niggas need to stop. They gonna slap that nigga on the internet and try to prove that he don't got no more power. They'd be just like Denard, like that nigga brother, and try to prove it, because the OGs don't have no juice like that. The only nigga that I still I can say that came home and still had his power is from 60s. The one with Nipsey. I can't even think of his name right now. Ooh.
Big U.
Big U, the only nigga to come home and still be like, stop. And niggas would be like.
So can I just be that guy real quick? I think you're 100% correct, but I think we're selling it short. I think that if you put it into today's perspective, right? If God rest his soul, if the Bean was still around, I feel like the Bean could call the heads in LA and get some shit to be in LA.
Jerv, I'm not talking about getting the heads. I believe the heads.
But I'm saying have the respect from the kid. Like, he would have
the kids
respect.
Would care? I don't think so. Man.
The most I care. Like, hey. You know what I mean? You still got niggas. Niggas going to be niggas.
Jerv, God bless the dead. That nigga was around when all this shit was happening. And niggas didn't get no fuck about no damn Kobe, bro.
I got you.
The nigga was still around.
He was still around, this motherfucker.
It didn't fall apart when he left.
Niggas was getting some Swiss cheesed up, nigga. He was not the nigga to be out here trying to stop shit. Niggas was like, man, stay your punk ass out in Anaheim and mind your motherfucking business.
This ain't got shit to do with you.
This shit been going on way before you. Could you imagine a nigga like Kobe like, hey, yo, I think y'all need to chill out. Niggas gonna be like, what? Nigga might start laughing in that nigga face.
It'd be like Blank Man when he stops the mugging. He's like, let her go. And then he's like, and the dude said, I will slap you, silly, call you Sally. And like, and he just slapped me.
Listen, the nigga Nipsey died, bro. Them niggas paused for like 5 hours. So you think Kobe got that much bull?
Yeah, for the Staples Center Memorial. That's what they paused for.
Nigga, the Bloods and Crips paused for like 5 hours. And the hands met up. You know what the niggas did? Still shooting. They didn't care. Not one blink. And this is 2022. And this death was supposed to be like a ripple effect around the world. Like, that's you had crazy. People like, oh my God. And which I was even shocked, because I'm like, damn, niggas know Nipsey like that? Like, to that point. But
No, we're not doing that.
This is what I'm talking about, bro. I'm talking about where niggas is over here getting tattoos. Niggas is doing, and I don't know if it's clout or not, but I believe about LA artists, I'm going to push for LA artists in general. That's why I was saying, when I was pushing that, when we had that conversation with Amin, it was because it was based in LA. And I thought, despite him not knowing, he has more of a connection to the NBA players, and it's more home versus this shit where it was like rapper, like Young Dolph died. Respect to Young Dolph.
That
shit did not stop. Niggas kept doing what they was going to do. Right. Nipsey shit. Niggas is getting paintings. Niggas is doing the rally flags on shit. Yeah. Just doing everything. And I'm like, huh? Like, nigga, the mural here in New York still.
I would say also the other thing about Nipsey was that because he kind of stood for so much more than the music, in terms of self sustaining and governance and business owning and stuff like that.
But I feel like, but I want to know if people that my only concern about that whole shit was, did he know he was loved like that?
I don't really
feel like it was getting to that way, because obviously, say Victory Lap went platinum almost a year later. But I'm just saying, during the time, he knew we loved him from the city. So we gonna go hard for him. A couple people that he done did tracks with and he done show love, they love him. But like a worldly effect, nigga, that shit, it was niggas crying like Tupac. I was.
And I mean it respectfully. I was kind of like, damn, you seen the reaction? You know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit. Like, wow, okay. You know what I mean? So I get what you're in. Hindsight being 2020, I will say that.
Ain't no nigga stopping gang.
I think you was right. No, ain't no nigga stopping no gang. And I think you were right about the All-Star game. I think he probably would have did that shit. But whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, just to sum it up, and like, again, love Nipsey, love Kobe. Two that can never be replaced or duplicated. But niggas not stopping LA gangs.
Niggas are not stopping. Yeah, no, I mean,
Mike didn't stop it when he came out with the two colas. He didn't stop it.
No, nigga. Niggas had paid actors, nigga.
Yeah, I'm telling you, but that's why I asked the question, like, how could that possibly happen? Because, like, my thing was just, like, I get how, like, you could go to the leaders, but, like, again, how do you stop the knucklehead going to the Friday night movie who don't know how to act? Like,
I mean, that shit just was a bar for him to make him sound like he did something. Right. Niggas was getting killed. Bro, that's a year my dad died. Niggas was killing niggas, bro. Look how.
But not. Hold on, Trey. But not at a Magic Johnson Theater.
Like, it's just a bubble. Niggas was dying, bro. Like, you remember?
Yo, that's crazy. Because I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, remember Poetic Justice when Q-Tip died?
Yeah.
Nigga, that's why that's why we start getting fucking in theaters, because niggas was getting killed at the drive-in. They was killing niggas every time. You be in a car with your girl, nigga, get your shit blown.
Yo, that's ass.
But it was like that, nigga.
I can't live that life, bro. I'm just trying to catch a flick, my nigga. Like, dang.
But you don't know. You done seen somebody you done fought. And now
he did see him too. That's Q-Tip fault too on some real shit, because he saw the boss. He knew it was on. He should have dipped.
Yeah,
should have dipped.
He thought he was gonna give him a pass, because you don't get too many passes like that, bro. Especially if you gave somebody a pass. That's why they got them little viral moments where nigga be trying to use the kids as a fucking. I'm with my kids, bro. I'm with my kids.
Yo, by the way, speaking of kids, the shit where he had to do the show with the kids.
Oh, that was tough. My eyes looked down, teared up a little bit.
Dog, like the little girl crying and stuff. But like, and she's like, she must have been like 8 years old or whatever. And that, I was like, yo, man, that's tough, and that's cool that he did that. But then the nigga said, I contract HIV from having unprotected sex. I'm like, man, these kids don't want to hear that shit. Nigga.
Like 6 years old.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Hey, he thought he was doing a justice, man, by being straight honest. That shit was so fucking funny, man.
Sometimes a little too honest.
Yo, the shit that they used to have, we used to have celebrities. Well, they still do this now, but like, think about it. It's Magic Johnson and surrounded by a whole bunch of kids, and the purpose of this is to educate people about HIV and right. HIV, basically. It's Magic Johnson and a whole bunch of kids. Shouldn't it be like another adult there?
I mean, I don't, like, I think it's easy to say, hey, man, by the way, don't mention the sex around the kids. Appreciate you.
The producer definitely didn't think they was going to have to hit the dump button.
Jesus Christ.
It was funny how he pulled out of the whole little White House thing when he found out, like, the funding wasn't going. I was like, oh, okay.
That's good for him, though. Good for him.
Yeah, I was like, good for him to disassociate himself with that.
What a shock. The Bush family was not truthful about something. Go figure.
They didn't care. They don't care about these black people. But, yo, let's transition now to Atlanta. But first of all, one last time. Yeah, Magic. Turns out, like, your shit is just as horseshit as Winning Time. Except it's not as funny or entertaining. Like, I'm just mad. You want the real story and you're going to leave out huge chunks.
Give him his credit, though. He did put his trash talk nighttime show in the mix. Like,
you saw how they flipped it, though? They flipped it like, oh, he realized he didn't want to do it. Like, nah, nigga, you got canceled. There's a difference. I didn't want to do it. Yeah, you like these. Yo, we got all these twins. Wow. These twins. Like, what were y'all planning? Did y'all not have a plan? Did y'all not see twins in the front row and say, okay, clearly they sat them there. You know, like at these talk shows, the audience don't just sit wherever they want.
Yeah.
Like, they y'all set this up. Y'all didn't give this nigga some jokes or some shit to say? Unbelievable, man, to quote Sean. Unbelievable. All right, Atlanta. Geez, or should I say Brown Mirror? Just waste your whole goddamn season. Why don't you? I was talking to one of my homies, and my homie said this. He this guy works in like kind of entertainment or whatever, so this isn't just like a nigga like us just talking about it. I said, you know, we were talking about, he said he liked the episode. I was like, I'm this guy, you know, the same criticism that we've had throughout this season, which is just tell the story about the characters and make a different show. And he said, sad part is the vignettes would be an anthology show, but he's scared to say that. I said, exactly. Instead, we get a half-assed season. He said, yep, he's scared. I said, how? He's one of the most influential people in Hollywood. And he says, bro, the fear is still real. Dudes want the other opportunities. I said, man, if he's scared, where does that leave the rest of us? Yeah, how wild is that? They're like, you're Donald Glover. You created one of the most popular shows, or critically acclaimed shows, I should say, one of the most popular shows on the network. You influenced a bunch of other shows that kind of have the same mood and feel, whether it's Dave, whether it's Rami. Like, these are all kind of influenced by Atlanta. Your music career is doing really well. Your movie career is doing really well. This nigga doesn't feel secure enough to just pitch a different show and do it?
Still a nigga.
Still a nigga. Still a nigga. So, that's
it. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You ask your question.
I'm watching this. I was like, what the fuck is this? I didn't really understand the episode until the very, very, very end of the episode. Like, I was like, this is so random. I don't get it. Is it just me? Like, am I just not hip enough to understand this shit? Or, like, was everybody else lost watching this episode?
No, I think it was just you. It was very clearly about, like, the like from the very beginning. Like, you tell, like, the white parents are not involved in their child's life. The child knows all these Trini songs and shit like that. And so there was I knew there was going to be a moment where it was like, this lady cared more about this child, this white child, than she did her own children or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't the point. I don't even know anymore, man.
I mean, that's what I realized. Yo, it's terrible. I just want to know what Paperboy is fucking doing. That's all I want to know. It's that hard to give me an episode or two or three or a season full of episodes where I see my man Paperboy going from city to city, fucking the Johns, having fucking all the weed in the world, getting shit happen. Like, is it that hard? Or am I just being that simplistic? Am I just that simple? I don't understand. Like, that's what I signed up to watch.
Yo, the next episode comes out. Tell me, see, these are the things. I don't want to be like a narcissist. First of all, hold on. Let me make this point first. Seven episodes have been out so far. Three slaps. Cancer attack. And cancer attack is the one where,
remember he was searching the kid for the phone?
Yeah. Oh no, not cancer attack. What's the one? I'm missing. Oh no, here we go. Three slaps, the big payback, which is the one with the reparations.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one. So half your episodes have been, three out of the seven episodes have not have been about Earn and Paperboy and Darius. The ones that have are Sinterklaas is coming to town, where everyone's in blackface, Old Man in the Tree, and Cancer Attack, and White Fashion.
What's cancer? The Cancer Attack is the phone?
The one where the guy stole the phone, yeah. Yeah, took the phone, yeah. So 50%, remember, like, the kid had cancer, and he searched the kid. But next week's episode is called New Jazz, and it says Al and Darius walk around Amsterdam And then he says, psh, I could make a way better TV show than this. That nigga's got to be talking about me, man. The number of times I've said this shit to Pablo Torre, who is friends with this nigga, there's no chance. Zero chance. He's not talking about me. I'm taking it. I'm running with it. I'm in this nigga's head.
What if he has a sport? What if he has a radio podcast type boy in the episode? Yo, I'll lose my fucking mind if there's something in there that I could be like, yo, that's you.
And then we lawyer up. Yeah, this shit is unbelievable. But I don't know how many more episodes we got of this. Next week is episode 8.
I hope not season that many.
Season 2 had 11 episodes. Season 1 had 10 episodes. So, Jerv, you don't want, hope that not that many, but what if extra episodes mean we actually get more story as opposed to these one-offs?
It's not. You know how sometimes I give my sports stuff and y'all just keep it real with me like, yo, it's not, yeah. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what's happening, bro. I'm not going to get excited for that shit. No way. If there's three, we're on episode. We just got episode 8. You said
we just got episode 7. Episode 8 is next week.
So there's no way we get more than 10, right? Like he's right. So artsy right now that he's not even going to do more than 10. If he could, he probably would just do 8 and call it a fucking day. But if we have 3 episodes left, I'd say at best 2 of them are Atlanta specific.
So
at best.
Let's say he said like this season had 12 episodes. So that means it would be 5 episodes left. How many do you think would be Atlanta based?
3.
There you have it. Trey laughing, man. What are you laughing at, man?
I'm laughing at y'all, man. I didn't get to finish the last episode, so I just kind of like listened.
We were gonna wait, and then Trey said, "Oh, I just got to finish Atlanta," and I said, "Trey, you're not missing anything."
I'm like, I'd be laughing at the stupid parts, but I'd be like, I don't know if I'm laughing because I'm actually thinking it's funny, or if I just think that it's just stupid, like it's ridiculously stupid, and I'm laughing, like the white nigga just jogging, and then he comes in and just has the curry supposed to be like. Ridiculously spicy, and I was just like, I don't know why I laughed at that stupid shit, man. But it's just like those are parts that I'm just like, I don't know. But like for a complete episode, for all the praise that it's got, you're right. Not mad.
Yeah, man.
Ah, I just got that. The son complained about the food being plain.
Yeah.
Because they don't season their shit.
Yeah, and when the dude tried the curry, it was too spicy for him. Like, are we sure that's just light pepper? I mean, I just felt like it's a lot of like your typical jokes. I don't know. I don't know, man.
He could just incorporate himself in these somehow. That would be fine.
But even when they do, I'm just not impressed by it. It's good. I'm entertained. It's fun. But again, like I said, I feel like I could do the same shit. And I never want to feel like that. I started watching Ozark new end of season or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, there's some shit I can't do, man. I can't do this. I can't do Curb Your Enthusiasm. I can't do, what do you call it? The Wire. I can't do.
I think you're selling yourself short, bro. I think you could do a black version of a show about nothing.
Oh, man, I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm not saying that you would have, by doing, I feel like, I mean, like you'd have to surround yourself with a bunch of talented minds and know what you're doing. I'm not saying you're just about to go get a camera and get like 5 or 6 people and just shoot a pilot. Like, no.
Hey, Trey, you want to be on my show?
What's it about? Nothing. This right here. This is a show.
All right, guys. On that note, let's call it a day. Thanks again to Jerv. Thanks to Trey. Thanks to you, the listeners. Again, patreon.com/countthethings. Make sure you're subscribed. If you are, thank you. And tell somebody else to do it. We'll be back with Overflow tomorrow. We'll talk about winning time and see see what else is popping. Usually things happen on Sundays for some reason. I'm like, oh, shit, we got aggressive. So we'll see what happens. Until next time, stay black, motherfuckers.